This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy
94.9. Hide and seek.
Perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
The information provided by our health professional is general in nature and is not intended to replace personal medical advice. Always take responsibility for your physical and mental health by consulting your personal doctor.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, and we're still on Star Observer Digital.
It's your radio station for sex, sexuality, and your sex, sexuality, and gender diverse radio station.
That's right. And this is your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Oh, I wonder where they got their tagline from. Can't imagine.
Joining us, of course, every month is Dr. George the Healthy Bear. Good evening, Dr. George.
Good evening, all, and happy recovery from Mardi Gras for so many people.
Now, there's been a bit of a coverage of that in the press about making sure that you can stay healthy after a big party period, and also that some people may experience a bit of a downer after celebrating so much.
It's interesting. I think there's multiple factors in that, but it is a very, if you went to Sydney or you lived in Sydney, it is a very hedonistic time, and you know, you can just have an amazing time with so many great people, and to have that instant withdrawal can be a little bit sad.
And it can, for some, particularly who maybe are not connecting with community straight all the time, it can become isolating really quickly.
Well, just imagine that, you know, you've had, I don't know, 10,000 people march down a street saying, you know, it's wonderful to be gay and wonderful to be safe. And then you go back to outer Cronulla West or something and you get things thrown at you for being gay and you get called a faggot. I imagine that's a big jump down from the vibe of the party.
And then the heightened gayness that is the Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. I mean, it's very gay.
Very, very. I saw those gay TMs.
And yes.
The only thing they didn't do was spoof out glitter at you when they gave you your
I was wondering where you were going with that. That would have been great, a glitter cannon built into the gay TMs.
I swear to God, I still have glitter on me. It was Dina Curry was saying he still had glitter on him, and I'm thinking, girl, you got a lot of fur.
Now, we brought you here this evening.
We weren't going to talk about that, but that's a good little...
We brought you here this evening for a very serious matter.
It's been an amazing week in HIV research.
It has. And we wanted to start with the partner study coming out of America? UK?
UK.
UK. Which says, or which is reporting, its preliminary reports, that the maximum likely chance of transmission via anal sex from someone on successful HIV treatment was 1% a year.
It's quite an amazing finding. And what I really like about this study is that previous studies, they didn't have a huge amount of gay people in it. This study sought out couples, and about 40% of these people are gay, and some of the heterosexual couples were also participating in anal sex. So we're getting a nice sort of representation of what may be happening in the bedroom of serodiscordant gay men.
And what's particularly interesting is this is where the HIV negative partner was also receptive for anal sex. So it's what we would term potentially the most risky of a sex, historically, absolutely, that we termed the most risky. It's a positive top, neg bottom, no condom.
Yeah.
Because they were actually measuring this in not total condomless sex, but certainly regular condomless sex.
And the data that's there is saying that there was at least one episode of receptive anal sex without a condom.
Yeah.
And I think this is an important thing. And the data is very, very interesting from a multitude of perspectives. But the first important thing was, and this is only preliminary, please don't go home and practice it at home until 2017, they're saying the full data will be available. But no HIV negative person seroconverted from sexual penetration from their HIV positive partner who was non-detectable viral load.
Correct. Yep.
And they estimated there's about 16,000 occasions of sex that they're doing there.
Yes.
So out of 16,400 occasions of sex,
there were some people that seroconverted, but when they looked at the virus, it was not the same virus as their partners, which pretty much says nobody got infected from their HIV positive partner.
It was when they were in other sexual relations
I'm going to guess out of the 16,400, and how many seroconversions were there? There were less than 10, I think. I mean, there weren't a lot.
That number's just jumped out of my head.
Not jumping out of me.
Yeah, but no, it's not jumping out of me on my piece of paper either. But I imagine out of one of them had a very interesting conversation.
Well, yeah, but the study's quite upfront about this, and it brings interesting light to the Swiss statement made in 2008, because the Swiss statement was that a theory of that HIV could not be transmitted in a relationship with somebody with non-detectable viral load if there was no sexually transmitted infections.
Yes.
The gay participants in this study were having sex openly, and there was higher rates of sexually transmitted infections, yet there was still no seroconversion, which really does bring up an interesting... It may remove the sexually transmitted infections as a variable.
When you're on... when you have a suppressed viral load, that is. So we know, I think we know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have untreated HIV where your viral load is unchecked by antiretrovirals and you have a sexually transmitted disease, or the receptive partner has a sexually transmitted disease, then the rate of infection
goes significantly up. And this brings up a very important thing, and I was thinking about this as I came in, was that it's a lot of people stigmatize the HIV positive, the people who are aware of their infection and the people who are on treatment. Yet it would appear that there is a vast majority of people who don't know they're HIV positive who may be part of the main drive for the propagation of HIV forward, which to me means the job that I do for checking people for HIV, the rapid testing I'm doing at work, this is so important. The more people that can get tested, the more people that can be offered effective treatment. That's good for their health and also the health of the community.
Now, the partner study from the UK is very similar to the opposites attract study happening here in Australia.
Hmm.
And we are going to be joined in a moment by Professor Andrew from the Kirby Institute to talk about that and the comparisons between the partner study and the opposites attract study. And, you know, maybe we'll be able to get some insights into what the opposites attract study is finding out.
Hide and seek. Great Radio. Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. Hide and seek. Your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. Avi Miller's with me. Dr. George, our healthy bear, is with me. And we're talking about the partner study results out of the UK. And as we said, the opposites attract study happening here in Australia is something that's very similar to the partner study. And Professor Andrew Gerlich is from the Kirby Institute. He's the... Andrew, are you the supervising professor?
I'm the lead investigator.
Lead investigator.
It's a track study, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Hide and Seek this evening.
You're welcome.
Now, Andrew, I take it you're right across the results happening from the partner study.
Yeah, exciting results coming out of the conference in Boston.
And really showing, demonstrating that no transmissions within couples from a partner with an undetectable viral load has been found for gay men.
That's right. So these are the first direct evidence on the effectiveness of treatment as prevention as they relate to gay men. So the study in gay couples followed a few less than 300 couples over an average period of follow-up of 1 year, and no new infections were found.
So 300 couples. How many are you doing in opposites attract at the moment?
Well, currently we've got about 115 enrolled. We're needing more. We need, we think, about 500 couples over the next couple of years to really add to these data, because certainly these data are exciting, but the number of couples involved is fairly small, and so to really exclude the fact that a small transmission rate might remain, we really do need to study this question in larger numbers.
I was going to ask Dr. Andrew, opposites attract running here in Australia, what are the requirements for your study couples?
Okay, so the opposites attract study is a study of gay serodiscordant couples, so couples where one is HIV positive and one is HIV negative. And essentially it's looking at the question of whether a viral load and treatment is related to transmission. Couples do not have to be on treatment to be in the study, although we are finding that most of them are. All that's required is that the couples be adults and that they be in an ongoing sexual relationship with each other that involves anal sex at least monthly. So not terribly highly sexually active. No requirement to be on treatment or off treatment. And the study is basically based around the clinic visit schedule of the positive partner.
And do you also require that the couple involved have condomless sex, or what happens if the negative partner takes PEP or PrEP? I know that the partner study requires that the negative partner doesn't take PEP or PrEP. How does the opposites attract study handle that?
So, look, we do not require study participants to be having condomless sex, and although, to be frank, unless some of that happens, the study won't be as useful. But the fact of the matter is that in Australia, because there are legal issues with declaring you're having condomless sex, that we felt it was not the right recruitment strategy to use in our context. So rather than requiring that, we simply welcome all comers who are having regular anal sex. And the fact of the matter is, it turns out that the majority of those men are having condomless sex, at least some of the time.
So, Professor Andrew, are we able to get a scoop and say that the study, opposites attract study, is going to get the same results as the partner study?
Well, look, the opposites attract study is a bit newer than the partner study, and so I can't really tell you that yet. We've got only about 50 couple years of follow-up thus far compared to over 300 in the partner study, but hopefully with increased recruitment we'll quickly catch up. But, you know, science is a global business, and we can... What we're clearly going to be needing to do is compare these results we're getting out of Europe with results from Australia. And the other exciting thing is that opposites attract is expanding to include sites in Brazil and Thailand. This is really a global question for gay men, because it's not just in developed country settings where gay men are at really high risk of HIV.
How do you go about recruiting couples in Brazil and Thailand? I mean, it would be an interesting question here in Australia, and obviously with only 115 couples, you know, Australia is fairly progressive, and yet we still have a difficulty getting serodiscordant couples to be part of the study. Would it not be more difficult in some of these countries?
Well, look, it's certainly the case that a study like opposites attract can only occur in countries which have supportive legal environments. You know, you can't do it where homosexuality is illegal. You remember Rio, where we're based in Brazil, holds, you know, one of the world's largest sexual carnivals in the world.
True.
They're pretty open people, and they've done some great research in gay men in Brazil. In the randomised trial that looked at treatment as prevention in heterosexuals, Rio was one of the only sites in the world that recruited homosexual men. So they've told us in Rio that they reckon they're going to be able to recruit 50 or more couples for us within the first 6 months. They love the study. They think it's a critically important question, and the gay men there seem to be interested as well. So, and Bangkok, it's a different situation. It's a terribly severe epidemic of HIV, particularly in young gay men in Bangkok. And really, they want to know the answers to, you know, how treatment can be used to try to intervene in that epidemic, where makes our epidemic look quite mild by comparison.
Now, Dr. George, did you have a question for Professor Andrew?
Yeah, Professor Andrew, I suppose the other research that was coming out this week was the efficacy of PrEP. And they're saying now that if you people who were able to take the Truvada every day were having, you know, 99% protection from HIV virus. Is there an emergence of perhaps generic Truvada in these culturally diverse areas where that might also impact on these studies?
Yeah, so look, we're recording information in Opposites Attract about whether men are taking PrEP and indeed PEP or not. And, it's been a fairly slow rollout of PrEP, given that it's been proven to be effective in gay men for about 3 or more years now. Mm. So our approach is simply to record whether it's happening. There is some happening, a little happening in Brazil, a little happening in Thailand, but not very greatly yet. Yeah. The other thing I should say is that, especially given these new results of no new infections in nearly 300 years of person years of follow-up in these gay men, I think a lot of people are asking the question, is PrEP justified in couples where the viral load is undetectable? Because if transmission rates are that low, perhaps PrEP is not needed.
And it then sort of highlights the ongoing, I mean, we already have campaigns in Australia to get tested and get treated. It highlights the value of knowing your status and, if you are HIV positive, being on treatment, because that is being proven to be an exceptionally effective method of preventing transmission.
It sure does. And you know, I think a lot of gay men have been assuming for quite a long time now that treatment does reduce transmission. The results this week prove that it does. And, you know, we're left with some questions about, you know, how close to 100% is that reduction of transmission risk. But there's no doubt the evidence is in now. It does very substantially reduce transmission. Mm. And that is fantastic news for gay men.
And Professor Andrew, is the Opposites Attract study finding anything of value?
One of the other main things we're looking at in that study is whether couples when the virus is undetectable have more unprotected sex than couples where the virus is still detectable. And we are finding that in a fairly striking fashion. So when virus is undetectable, the gay men in these couples are having more unsafe sex. The data from Europe, from the partner study, suggests perhaps that doesn't matter in terms of HIV transmission, because in that quite large study with quite a lot of unprotected sex happening in the study, there was no transmission. So, you know, it's not unexpected, I think.
And should we then be using the new CDC guidelines and calling it condomless sex as opposed to unprotected?
It's a very good question, and I think we may well be changing our the way we talk about this sex, because if you've got undetectable viral load, maybe it's no longer right to talk about unprotected anal sex, because the protection is undetectable viral load.
Does this mean that D&D free will be swapped out for non-detectable or something like that?
I read a really interesting article this week as well that said the people that you should be having sex with are the people who are openly HIV positive and on treatment.
Absolutely.
Because they are the least likely to transmit HIV.
Absolutely.
And if you look at it from the other perspective, if you're an HIV negative gay man today out there and being very sexually active, you've got to think these days that the person most likely, the person who is most, who you are most likely to contract HIV tells you he's HIV negative, but is actually HIV positive and doesn't know it yet.
So the question is,
viral load is high.
The question
but
is,
he's told you he's negative.
Yeah, the question is not are you negative, it's how long since you had your test.
Yeah, indeed. How long since you had your last antibody test for negative men? And then for positive men, when did you last have your detectable viral load, your undetectable viral load, and do you take your tablets daily?
certainly my experience in the rapid testing realm is that indeed there's a lot of people that haven't been tested for a very long time. We're talking 1-2 years. It's a very long time to go between tests, I think.
For sure.
Professor Andrew from the Kirby Institute, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Hide and Seek.
Thank you very much for having us.
That's not a problem. Now, Avi and I are participants in the Opposites Attract study. We've talked about that before.
We are.
And we had our follow-up this week.
We did. You got the nice, easy rapid test.
I got the rapid test for the first time
I got
ever.
19 litres of blood taken off me.
Now, Dr. George, I should say the rapid test was so simple.
Absolutely.
And you know, even though I'm you know, 99% confident of my status. And this study assists in that. That, you know, you still have the nerves kicking.
I've had men fall to the floor and cry when I tell them that the test has come back non-reactive.
Yeah,
they've been pent up and they've been so worried.
That week,
it's a long time.
It's a long time.
It's a really long time.
And even I found personally, you can be basically fine, but then, you know, that hour before you go your appointment, you get nervous. And this I found completely nerve-wracking free.
Absolutely. One thing though, please get a rapid test. I highly recommend it. But if the doctor says, do you want to get your other sexual health test done, consider it. Please. The amount of people that refuse the rest when I offer it, I feel so sad that they're missing out on the full opportunity for a proper health screen.
Dr. George, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My absolute pleasure.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.